Previously on Thomas and the Bible. Well, your guess is as good as mine. No, I remember. We had some Jesus stuff. He did some miracling. It's the same story we've heard. It's deja vu. Deja Jesus. Deja Jesus vu. That's all. I hope you caught my episodes on Atheistically Speaking this week, because they had to do with this podcast. So definitely check those out if you haven't already. All right, that's enough from me. We'd better, I guess, get to me. All right, thanks, me. Well, Mark 9 through 11 is what we're reading, and that's what Mark and I say. I mean, we're just reading the same story, slightly different version. Couldn't be a more boring thing to have to do, but at least things happen. There's stuff to talk about. Jesus is pretty cool. Like that lovely, beautiful man who did the intro said, check out Atheistically Speaking this week, because I have a discussion on interpreting the Bible and whether I'm doing it wrong. So it's good. Good discussion. Any other news? Not really. Oh, did I tell you guys about the Patreon hack? Just in case. I think I told everyone. Oh, wait. No, did I? I don't know. I forget. Anyway, Patreon was hacked. Your email and password have probably been obtained. If you are one of the lovely people who have signed up to patronize me. And I feel your pain, because all my Patreon accounts were hacked as well, and they probably have. So I've been going around changing all my passwords and stuff. So I'd advise you to do the same. It sounds like it won't be any more serious than that. I've confirmed that there's no credit card data breached. So your credit card data has not been breached and or stolen or whatever. And so it should be fine. Just change your passwords and stuff, especially if you use the same password for something else, then change it. Cause that's what these, asshats do, is they take these passwords and try them on other sites and stuff. So sorry about that. And I was really mad about it. But it's been a little while now. I guess I found out like on Saturday. I don't know. I forget. But anyway, it's really upsetting, because it's a site where people are just trying to support people they like many of my wonderful listeners have with me. And I appreciate it so much. I can't thank you guys enough. And then some jerk has to go and hack it and publish info on the internet. So it's really frustrating. And I hope it won't turn anyone off. But I understand if it does. But like I said, just username or email and password or whatever you're using. And actually, if you sign in through Facebook, I think you might be okay, because they don't store the Facebook data on their server or whatever. So, but I don't use Facebook with it. So there you have it. Anyway, Matthew. Does it matter if I'm reading Matthew or Mark or Markthew? Markthew. Markthew 9. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Well, there you go. There's another, and this is actually kind of what spawned the discussion with Tyler on Atheistically Speaking, although we didn't talk about this specific example, unfortunately. But this passage is even more clear. There be some that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come to, with power. And maybe I'm sure everyone always has justifications. Look, that's how it works. When you don't like something in the Bible, you come up with a justification for it. That's whatever. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. He was transfigured into a beautiful woman, and they made love to her over and over. And that was, what if that was just in there, like one of the books? And Christians were like, yeah, we just don't read that part. I think it probably was fake, but it was actually the only part that was real. His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Interesting phrasing, I guess. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved son, hear him. So this is ad-libbing. This is all... This was not in Matthew, but it is in Mark. It is in Mark. So, and I think Mark is the bigger one, right? So Mark does have more stuff. It's not longer, but it has more stuff. So I don't remember this. I don't think this happened before, but this is just establishing, like, you know, this guy's definitely my son. There's some confusion in the first book I wrote. you all might've read it. So in this revision, just want to establish this guy here is most certainly my son. Hear him. And suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore, but a beautiful woman, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen. Oh, that sounds kind of familiar. Till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. But I think it was a little different. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elias must come first? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and stunned to him, saluted him, Straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. That's weird. I just hallucinated. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. It sounds like he has rabies. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. That's Jesus saying, like, Dad, could you kill me already? I'm tired of these people. They're pathetic. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, there's a lot of pronouns here. It's kind of annoying. Straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And you're just now coming to me now? And oft times it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But thou, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And he's like, yeah, I believe. Okay. Get on with it. I believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was at one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And the people cheered and didn't crucify him. The end. Surprise ending. And when he was come out of the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? He's like, Oh, well, you're not the Son of God, so it's probably that. And he said unto him, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise on the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. Son of man will die. Yeah, okay. I don't know what that means. But yeah, sure. Sounds good, man. Whatever. Yeah. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be the first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me." Like they're going to eat him, like the wafer? Is that kind of? I don't know. "And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." This is getting complicated. This is some sort of complicated pyramid scheme referral process, I think. And John answered him, saying, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend me," cut it off. You know, actually, he did it a little differently. He's like, "If thy hand offend thee, cut off thy foot. If thy eyes offend thee, cut off thy ear." It's you can't cut off the thing that offends you. You have to punish it by cutting off something else. It's kind of a weird rule, I know, but it's definitely this way. "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better to enter halt into life than having 2 feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched." Yeah, we get it. "Where the worm that dieth not, the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with the fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." Salt is good, but but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace with one another. That was the thing, is, he's like, salt is fine and all, but what if in hell the salt loses the saltiness? Everyone's like, no. Dump, dump, dump. Mark 10. "And he arose from thence and cometh into the coasts of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" Tempting him. And he answered, she's like, "Hey, don't tempt me about my wife. Am I right?" Put her away. Oh, man, you got me. Damn it. I don't know what the temptation is there, but it's probably to get him to say something they don't agree with or something. I don't know. And the Pharisees, read that. "And he answered and said to them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And Jesus answered and said to them, For the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." That's true. That's by a lot scientifically true. "For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And when he said unto them, "Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery." And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. This is interesting because this is one of my biggest pet peeves slash actual maybe moral quandaries, because I get so annoyed at the Christians who say, and God said about, or sorry, and Jesus said about gay marriage. And then they do like an empty quote, like they're like, he didn't say anything about gay marriage. So obviously it's fine. Which, because I know that's not right. I know that if you could resurrect dead Jesus's dead corpse, which is certainly in the ground somewhere, rotten, but who knows? If you could get fossilized Jesus and you could ask him, hey, would you be cool if a dude married a dude? He'd be like, nah, no. What? That doesn't even make sense. At first he'd laugh. He'd be like, ah, that's funny. A guy marrying a guy. That doesn't even make sense. It would not make sense to him. It would not at all make sense to him. I guarantee it. And I think it's interesting, but I have these Christian friends who argue that and like, oh, Jesus would have been fine with it or whatever. And they're pro gay marriage. And it's like, on one hand, it's good that they're pro gay marriage. And that's, you know, now it kind of doesn't matter because it's the law of the land here in America. But I mean, it kind of matters. It's just in case, you know, anyone tries to repeal it or set something to a vote or just does something. But at the same time, I want to say, like, no, you don't need to bend your stupid religion to make it so gay marriage is okay. Just get rid of your religion. You know, I know that's not realistic, but it's what I'm thinking, you know, and this is a quote that actually is pretty straightforward. It says, man and woman, and they shall be one flesh. Like, he's pretty explicit about it. So I don't know. It might be a if it was worth it. But then again, I don't know how much I want to argue that because I don't want there to be more homophobia. But at the same time, I know a lot of people. I've actually talked to a lot of people recently, it seems like, who left their faith because of what their faith taught about homosexuality. So in some ways, I want these religions to stick to their guns, to just double down on like, yeah, no, gays are an abomination. They can't marry. And then more people will see that it's stupid and leave. But I don't know. But I don't know if that's like a worse outcome than just them changing and being pro gay marriage. I really don't know. It's a tough question, but it's something that always bugs me. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for I'm a big fan of little children. For of such is the kingdom of God. Now we see where the example has been set. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Ooh. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Well, yeah, but you're pretty good. I mean, you're the Son of God, so I think it's pretty appropriate to say, you know, wouldn't you say? Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto them, master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him much, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Yeah, there you go. Another lesson to conservatives. Here's what Jesus said, guys, idiots. He said, Christian conservatives. Here's what Jesus, your God, said. Well, you need to give away all your possessions or sell them and give the money to the poor or whatever, because that's what you have to do. And then the person's like, ah, that sucks. This person in the Bible had the same reaction that conservatives have now. Like, no, I don't want to do that. That's too hard. Don't make me do hard things, Jesus. Just make me do easy things. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure and saying among themselves, who then can be saved? A bunch of 1%ers there, apparently. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, well, is it possible with God for a rich person to go into heaven then? Wait, what? No, that just... Is it possible with God for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Because then we might be cooking with gasoline? Is that the phrase? Cooking with gasoline here or something. I don't know. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house... God, I'm really tongue-tied tonight, sorry. That hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters, mothers, and children. That's kind of a funny phrase. Hey, guys, you know all those moms you have now? Well, in heaven, you're going to have 100 times that many moms. Yes, and sisters, and it's like, that's not a big sell. I'm good with my one mom that I have. I'm barely okay with my parents. I don't need 100 of them. It's a weird thing. I could see 100 of anything else. House, even children, maybe, like, you know, in heaven or something, and more children or whatever. But I really don't need more parents. Like, that's one thing that I think is good here on Earth. The number of parents that I have is approximately the correct number, 2. Somewhere in that range, and lands with persecutions in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And it's weird, but Jesus took that opportunity to advocate for a LIFO method of cost allocation and accounting. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. And they were amazed as they followed and were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and they shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And once again, I would have said, well, Jesus, just don't go in that town. Let's just leave. That sounds not fun. That sounds terrible for everyone. And James and John and the sons of Zebedee came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Jesus didn't want to sit. He just didn't want to sit with those guys. He's like, what can I tell them? Look, I can't promise that. You know, God might have. There's a seating chart up there. Hey, if it was up to me, sure. Oh, sure. I'd put you on my left hand. I'd put you on my right hand. Put you on my middle hand. I'd put you on my back behind me hand. I'd put you on every hand I have. But, you know, it's just not up to me. Sorry. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried, but don't people get it by now? Like, if someone says, like, oh, Jesus, and then you're the disciple that says, like, hey, shut up, old man. Pretty sure Jesus is going to be like, hey, disciple, come on. You know, don't they get that that's Jesus' MO by now? And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise, he called thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Cool. All right, Mark 11, last chapter today. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you. As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. I don't remember this from Matthew. And if any man may say unto you, Why do you do this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. Oh, is this the donkey thing? And straightway send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said, even unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. Yeah, this is the riding into town on a donkey thing, isn't it? But this time it's a colt, so I don't really... That's different than a donkey, right? Colt sounds like a horse. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus was into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money chargers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, and because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withering away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I saith unto you, What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, for that your Father also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And they come again to Jerusalem, and he was walking in the temple, and there come to him the chief priests, and the scribes, and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee the authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered, You know, it's weird that John the Baptist was such a prophet, because we don't hear much from him. John the Baptist was like a minute of this story. I mean, he was murdered. So there, he baptizes Jesus and then he's murdered later. And Jesus is referencing that he's like a big prophet among the people. Like, people really think John the Baptist is a prophet. And yet, I don't know, he doesn't really factor in that much. So I think that's odd. It's interesting. And they answered and said unto Jesus, "We cannot tell." And Jesus answering saith unto them, "Neither do I tell by you by what authority I do these things." So he sort of got him there. That was pretty clever. I guess I need to hand that to Jesus. That was a clever retort. I guess I'm done. That's the end. So thank you. All right, time to thank my patrons specifically. And I want to mention something I forgot. If you signed on to Patreon after September 27th, your data is fine. So if you just signed up, thank you. And as a interesting coincidence, your data is totally fine. So I want to thank new patrons. Kimberly Hart, I might have already thanked. Thanks, Kim. Philip Stromberg, thank you very much. And Jimmy Miles, two new patrons at least. And thank you so much for becoming a patron at patreon.com/TNTheB for supporting the podcast you love or maybe just tolerate. I don't know, one or the other. And I want to thank my all-time greats. And that's, of course, the drum roll, John Bodley, Marcel, Japan Dan, a new one, Katie, Stacy Swaney, George Green, Sarah McPike, Scott McFarlane, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gerfort, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, and Heriberto. Thank you guys so sincerely from the bottom of my heart. You make the podcast go round, and you're the reason I will continue as long as you guys have decided you want it. I will continue long after the Bible into other books. It's provided people really want it and show their support, and I'm happy to keep doing what I do if people enjoy it. And if they don't, well, whatever, no skin off my nose. I'll just stop doing it. But it seems like people get something out of it, so I really thank you guys for giving back. All right, with that said, episode 208 of Thomas and the Bible is in the books. That's a lot of episodes, but yeah, we're done. The total, of course, is 260, so we just finished 208. We're going to 260, so that'll be when we finish. All right, thanks, guys. See you next week.